IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. I'm Pratik, and today I have with me Atish and Suchir, and we're going to be talking about the implications of WhatsApp taking the union government to court. But let me start with a little bit of background, right, of why this is happening, why we find ourselves in this scenario. Right. So on 25th February this year, the union government notified what's known as the Intermediary Guidelines and Digital Media Ethics Code. These will define a set of obligations for various intermediaries, as well as a new class of intermediaries called significant social media intermediaries, which it would later go on to say that any intermediary with more than 5 million users would fall under this category. Now, among the requirements for these were having a chief compliance officer, a nodal officer within the country, in addition to the grievance officer that are part of the obligation for all intermediaries. But significantly, and what we're focusing on today, is it also placed an obligation for traceability on these significant social media intermediaries. And it said that if one of these is providing services in the nature of messaging, it shall enable identification of the first originator of the information. And then it goes on to clarify different conditions for doing so. Right? Now, it provided a three-month timeline for compliance with these requirements, and things were relatively quiet for 3 months. And finally, on 25th May, WhatsApp and Facebook filed a petition in the Delhi High Court saying that this particular traceability obligation was beyond the legal mandate of the IT Act. It was disproportionate, and that it violates a fundamental right to privacy. Now, at the time we're recording this, I don't believe the Delhi High Court has listed this petition for hearing yet, but there have been significant, you know, back and forth public statements on this, right? And, you know, this whole traceability debate has been unfolding in India over the last couple of years. And there are many, many courses that we can take with this conversation. But Adish and Suchir have been trying to determine the type of scenarios that can unfold, right, as a result of this lawsuit, as an outcome of this lawsuit. And that's what we want to focus on today. So, you know, why don't you guys first talk, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, right, talk us through what you were trying to do with the assessment and the various scenarios that you've envisioned as outcomes.
So what we try to do in this document is map out what possible courses that the court can take and what would happen thereafter. So we basically thought that if the court rules in favor of WhatsApp and thereby strikes down the traceability requirement or holds it unconstitutional in any manner, then what are the possible consequences of what happens to the market of instant messaging applications and the largest social media market? On the other hand, what happens if the court were to agree with the government's line that traceability is required in order to maintain public order, or that it is a requirement issued in public interest? And we found that in the case that if the court were to agree with the government's line, then WhatsApp has two decisions that it can possibly take. One is, of course, remain in the Indian market, because India is its largest single market with more than 400 million registered users. And it has closely been integrating this huge market of users on WhatsApp with the larger ecosystem of Facebook advertising through its recent privacy policy updates, where it shares non-messaging data in order with the Facebook group of companies. On the other hand, WhatsApp also has good reasons to leave the country if traceability were to be upheld. Because firstly, it poses significant technological challenges for WhatsApp to actually restructure their architecture in many ways, to develop a method in which, in order to find the first originator of a particular message, several other messages from several other users will have to be decrypted, and they have to find a way in which to do that. And also, finally, we also thought that More than anything else, if WhatsApp were to agree to this line within India, there is no way in which it can resist if other countries were to also impose similar guidelines. Because in recent years, we have seen we've seen efforts from especially Anglosphere countries where they have tried to put pressure on companies that provide end-to-end encrypted services to break it in various ways. Even the press statement that the Ministry of Electronics and IT put out in response to WhatsApp's lawsuit mentioned that in 2019, US, UK, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand put out a statement saying that end-to-end encrypted services cannot be ultimate and have to be broken if needed. And in that case, if WhatsApp were to bow down to the government requirement, then it might not have as much power to resist if other such changes were brought out in other countries. So we thought WhatsApp has good reason also to leave.
Okay, so if I'm understanding that right, you haven't tried to play, you know, game the scenarios of the within the court case itself. It's more about and not the arguments that would form the legal proceedings, but rather what happens if the case is decided one way or the other, right?
Exactly, yeah. We do not delve into the legal details because neither of us are qualified lawyers, but we just look at what happens next, basically.
Okay, so do you want to talk us through maybe your first scenarios, what you see happening and what are the consequences of that?
Right. Yeah, so if the court actually rules against WhatsApp, now WhatsApp could potentially leave the market because such a decision might sort of create a global precedent. So there have been efforts in the past where several governments have tried to clamp down end-to-end encryption. There was a communique in the past, Five Eyes argument has been going on for a while, where United Kingdom, United States, Australia, New Zealand have actually tried to figure out and insist onto the sort of the messaging companies that they need to clamp down their encryption for legal purposes and also to ensure a safer cyber environment overall. And in that case, if WhatsApp does actually end up leaving, several things might turn out. Again, this is just a sort of a speculation in that regard. But if WhatsApp does actually decide to leave, India would certainly lose a standardized communication platform, which is in essence being used by everyone, our day-to-day lives surround around it, the businesses, a lot of business transactions, WhatsApp business APIs are around. And just because of the very fact that it's been years and years since we've been using that as a day-to-day communication mode of communication. Like once upon a time, people would talk over telephones. Now it's just WhatsApp. I'll WhatsApp you and it's there. That's how we've accepted our form of communication of sorts. So until there is an alternative similar to WhatsApp, which actually becomes a dominant market player of sorts, we're going to lose out on that standardized platform. Now, a loss of such a standardized platform could have severe consequences. Firstly, the market might get slightly distorted. There might be a couple of new players, homegrown players, especially we've seen in the past, there has been a sort of an incentive around to create homegrown instant messaging application. For instance, in February 2021, there were a couple of reports where the government has tried to actually develop an own instant messaging application by the name of Sandesh. And there have been also instances where several ministers have expressed their support for Kool as well in the past as an alternative to Twitter. So eventually, via government backing perhaps, along with network effects, there might be an emergence of one or two dominant players in the market. Now, given the regulatory incentives to actually frame a weaker encryption mechanism, dominant players could exploit this opportunity by heavily monetizing user data, especially since the regulatory costs would go up. There would be more regulation and costs could be there. The amount is uncertain, but the costs are certainly there. And through the network effects, once the particular player comes out into the market, then there is an opportunity for a standardized platform to exist. However, until that opportunity comes up, until there is a standardized platform of communication, in the short run, there's a likelihood of macro level effects on the Indian economy as well. So it's WhatsApp, as we just discussed, is a huge base. You can communicate overseas, internationally. And it's especially at a time of the pandemic when people rely on such a mode of communication to handle businesses, communicate across work groups, reduce friction in collaboration. It tends to improve the efficiency of work, lower costs, and thereby increase productivity. So until there is a platform where everybody is using, until then, this lower productivity could sort of hinder the economy. There could be a sort of a slowdown in the economic growth for a short period of time, until there's actually an IM app, an instant messaging app, that has similar network effect.
Okay, so Atish, can you maybe walk us through some of the other scenarios that both of you considered as well?
All right, so one of the other scenarios we considered was what happens when the court rules in favor of the government, but WhatsApp does not leave and remains in the country, because as I pointed out earlier, it has a huge user base in India and it might not want to leave that. So in that case, what we think is going to happen is, of course, even with the greater privacy concerns when traceability is upheld, WhatsApp will still continue remaining the dominant player, because first of all, the options for people that want to move away from WhatsApp wouldn't be there, because the effect on other players is going to be really severe. So in the Indian market, we have several kinds of instant messaging applications with various standards of encryption. Some have no encryption, some have end-to-end encryption that is partial. Like, for example, Facebook Messenger, which allows end-to-end encryption only on secret chats, or Telegram, which does the same. Only in Telegram secret chats do you get end-to-end encrypted services. On the other hand, are players like Signal, which are completely end-to-end encrypted, plus they also do not collect any personal information. Signal's website mentions that they do not collect any personal information and do not tie it with your identity. So there is no way in which your data can be identified with you. And they also encrypt the metadata that is collected as well. So the effect on a player like Signal is going to be significant, because even if they were willing to comply with these orders, they would be unable to, because they have no data to hand over to the government, essentially. Right? And given that they are a non-profit organization that runs on donations and a loan that was given to them by Facebook and Signal co-founders, Brian Acton, it's extremely unlikely that they would even want to build such a mechanism. So for users, there isn't much of a choice in case they want to leave WhatsApp and move to other alternatives because they care about privacy. And therefore, WhatsApp is likely to consolidate its hold on the market, continue remaining the major player. And therefore, that we think is going to continue. On the other hand, players that are willing to comply are likely to grow. So we think that in this moment, there might be incentives for the creation of new entrants in the market that will not have such high standards of encryption. Because if traceability is upheld, as a rational entrepreneur is entering into the market, the thing that you would be looking forward to doing is, why build a very strong encryption system if you also have to put in a lot of money and effort into breaking it eventually if the government needs it? Just much easier to have lower encryption standards right from the start. And therefore, even existing players that will be willing to comply with this are likely to grow, because they will have fewer constraints when complying with the government. So applications like, actually Facebook's case here is very interesting, because Facebook has been trying to integrate WhatsApp, Messenger and Instagram together by 2022, and they are building an end-to-end encrypted system. Currently, Instagram direct disappearing messages are end-to-end encrypted, the rest aren't. Similarly with Messenger, as I said, secret chats are, but the rest aren't. And WhatsApp is completely end-to-end encrypted. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens if the court rules in favor of the government. Then what changes, if any, does WhatsApp make in WhatsApp and the larger Facebook company make in order to comply with them? Are they going to make an India-compliant version, a separate application in itself with different standards, only communicating with, only when you're communicating with people abroad, are your chats encrypted, otherwise they are not? That there could be many interesting ways in which this can play out, and especially from WhatsApp's point of view, because for the rest of the players, as I mentioned, some of them are likely to be eliminated entirely. But from WhatsApp's point of view, this is going to be really interesting. So that was one scenario that we covered. And the final one is what happens if the court rules in favor of WhatsApp and therefore traceability is struck down. In that case, mostly the status quo will be maintained with WhatsApp being the dominant player as it has been. But there is a chance of WhatsApp consolidating its market even further. And that is because of what WhatsApp has been doing lately. So now the business models of a lot of instant messaging applications is really dodgy in many ways, because unless they are supported by a larger social media ecosystem. So for example, Instagram Direct, as part of the larger Instagram experience, can be self-sustaining. On the other hand, something like a standalone application like Telegram, which does not have the larger advertising ecosystem, will find it much more difficult to sustain itself, because any form of encryption prevents it from using that data to advertise. And therefore, these financial constraints often make these instant messaging applications really hard to make money out of. But what WhatsApp has done very interestingly is it has introduced, and it's been 3 years now, something called WhatsApp Business APIs. So which allows businesses to communicate directly to their customers in a very seamless fashion. And the current and the new privacy policy updates, which caused a lot of furore earlier this year, those privacy updates actually had a lot to do with this business API's growth. So they are making this.
And that's still going on, right? That conversation is also happening in parallel along with this.
Exactly, yeah.
End-to-end encryption, this thing, which makes this even more interesting, right? Because on the one side, you have
exactly the
government saying WhatsApp privacy policies are discriminatory. On the other side, you have WhatsApp accusing, say, filing a petition saying that these traceability requirements affect end users' privacy as well.
Exactly. That is exactly true. So, and in lately in India itself, the WhatsApp business API has grown a lot, with a lot of businesses adopting it. So that is one of the ways in which WhatsApp is going to further consolidate the market, because none of its rivals have that advantage so far. And WhatsApp API also has the advantage of being free for small businesses. And in a market like India, where a lot of businesses are small, that could be another advantage, which does not really make it a lot of money, but it brings a lot of businesses under its greater fold, which is very useful for it. So given that these things are being done by WhatsApp, we think that even if the traceability requirement is struck down, WhatsApp is going to grow. Also because the other requirements under the IT law, with the entire compliance team and the timelines of getting data for law enforcement requests has decreased so much, it will be difficult for smaller players to comply with them far more than it's going to be for WhatsApp, given its considerable size. On the other hand, competitors like Telegram are planning to increase their monetization. Telegram announced that they are going to be making their one-to-many channels into an ad platform so that they can start making some money. But yeah, we just don't see that any competitors are anywhere close in how well they have consolidated not just the person-to-person conversation, but also person-to-business conversation, which is going to be very important. So in the other scenario, we think that if traceability is struck down, WhatsApp could consolidate its market even further in India.
And another point to add to what Artish just mentioned. So through all these various features, API, WhatsApp being closely integrated to Facebook, WhatsApp can easily generate good amount of revenue. Even if you look at the current statistics, WhatsApp's user base is, of course, huge, but equally big is its revenues. its profits have been significant, especially if we look at WhatsApp and Facebook combined, since they both are essentially the same group. And WhatsApp as well can generate revenue through advertising, as Atish just mentioned, via its Facebook group of companies. So this makes it sufficiently large with significant revenues, and does WhatsApp can easily afford to establish a full compliance team. It can afford to comply with these new IT rules, have an entire team handling all the problems, the compliance team would be there, legal team, etc. So WhatsApp can afford to do such a thing, but what might happen is a smaller IM startup might find it difficult to comply with these regulations in the long run. And they might end up getting, there's more hindrance in the market of sorts. There's more hindrance, more uncertainty in the market. Any regulatory changes does add fear to the entire market structure. So a lot of the smaller enterprises might end up leaving, therefore further consolidating WhatsApp. But at the same time, we also should realize that there is a possibility of other big players being able to comply and become bigger over a period of time.
Okay, I think that's interesting. But the other things that I noticed that both of you also did was to then try and see what broader implications these IT rules could have, right, on the market itself.
So with the imposition of IT rules 2021, especially at a time when the ease of doing business in India is relatively low, the higher uncertainty in the social media and IM platform market could sort of lead to lower investments into that particular field. And the cumulative effect would be lower investments, lower FDI, especially in a regulated platform market. And this is especially very risky at a time when investment freedom, which is a signal of higher uncertainty, in comparison to the global average, is pretty low.
Also, if you look at the largest social media market, a lot of the IT rules, some of their most stringent measures, are likely to be enforced selectively on certain players. And we have seen instances of it in the past, depending on how the relationship between between the government and the social media companies is. So there could be selective enforcement in such a way that these certain companies are made to comply, and if they don't, then there are other ways in which the entire market is made more compliant, either by trying to push forward a homegrown alternative that people will start celebrating given the fervor around Atmanirbhar Bharat. So that is another implication that is not strictly economic, but has larger social consequences as well. And if we look at the entire picture broadly, in general, about everything that is likely to come out of both the traceability requirement and the IT rules, what we can infer from that is these are significant costs for which is not a clear benefit at all. So if we just look at the traceability requirement, for example, the benefit that the government says that it is going to be in is because people have in the past lost their lives due to fake WhatsApp forwards leading to violence and all of that. It's in public interest to find out who the first originator of that content is. But that in no way suggests how finding the first person that created or disseminated a piece of information, if finding that person and penalizing them, is likely to stop violence in general. Because we know that within a system, within a social media system or a messaging system, it is quite possible that even if you do not intend harm, even if you just put something out as a joke to your friend and somehow that got escalated, it is not clear how you can make a link between that and an act of violence that occurs maybe somewhere that you have never been in or even not even heard of, and people died there and you have been traced back to be the first originator and therefore you are liable, which does not make much sense. Also, from the point of view of who are the people that actually, the malicious actors that actually create such platforms, and whether they have alternatives in which they can escape this regulation, and there are such alternatives. Because it is quite possible that malicious actors who actually are trying to do this will move to smaller platforms or create their own platforms, and then there they can just wait for it to blow out. Because given the nature of interconnectivity between different systems in the larger social media sphere, there is cross-platform posting. It's not like a WhatsApp message that resulted in violence must have originated on WhatsApp. It could have originated on Twitter or Instagram, got picked from there, and was circulated on WhatsApp. And the original originator in that case for each platform would be different. So these regulations do not say how you can regulate cross-platform posting, for example. And that can just lead to malicious actors moving to smaller platforms. And finally, there's just this another clause within 4.2, which says that in the case that a message originates outside India, the first person that was to send it in India is going to be held liable, which also does not tell us how the benefit of preventing violence is going to be established in that sense. Because how is a person to know that they are the first person within the country to get that message? And if they do not know that, and they do not intend harm, by what standards are you going to be holding them liable for this? And therefore, if we just look at the traceability requirement in itself, and we assume the best interest, the best intentions from the government as to why this is required, and we are not saying that it isn't required, that public order is not a big problem, and that people don't die due to fake WhatsApp forwards, but nothing in the traceability rules says that finding the first originator of a message will actually help us clamp down on these problems. Because the reason why a lot of these violence happens has to do with the social divisions within Indian society that these viral messages exploit. And that cannot be solved by holding someone that made a joke accountable. So that is what we try to conclude on, that the consequences and the costs for such a requirement are high, but the benefit is unclear at best.
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack, and I think there's a conversation we'll have to keep following as it goes on, as this, you know, the court proceedings actually start, and we'll see how that unfolds. All right, guys, thanks for joining me, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com. or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week: Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank, and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.